Hi, everybody. Welcome to this mega session of Inside AWAI. We are going to be talking about master copywriting secrets with master copywriters. We're going to be talking about 20 of them specifically from Mega Million Dollar Response Legends. So let's just jump right in. We have so much to cover today, but I do want to introduce my guests. We have the esteemed David Deutsch. Hi, David. How are you?
I'm great, Kate. It's nice to be here.
And for those of you who haven't met David yet or had the honor of the excitement of learning from him, he's a world-renowned direct response copywriter, marketing strategist, author, and copywriting coach. He started at Ogilvy & Mather. His clients include Merrill Lynch, General Foods, American Express, as well as all the big direct mail greats in the financial and health world. He has generated $1 billion in sales for leading marketers, including Agora and Boardroom Inc. And he's had as many as 6 winning controls at once. So, David, definitely a leader in the Master Club. Thank you so much for being here for this exciting conversation. We also have Sandy Franks. Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
Master copywriter with 35 years experience as a marketer and copy chief, and I may add, master storyteller. She's published 2 books. She's written copy that has produced millions in sales for Agoras and others. She has chiefed some of the best writers in the business. Sandy knows copy. So happy to have you here. And also Guillermo Rubio. Hi, Guillermo.
Hey, Katie.
Guillermo has been a successful copywriter for 17 years. He was personally mentored by Mark Ford, Clayton Makepeace, Jed Canty, and Paul Hollingshead. His copy has generated millions in revenue. One email campaign, I have this written down so I have it right, helped bring in $1.2 million in just 35 days and generated up to $173,000 in a single day. G's part of this Master's Club, and we're so thrilled to have all of you with us. And the thing that I want to point out is not only are you all masters in your own right, but you have worked with all the greats. You have studied all the greats. You have learned from all the greats. But that's what makes this conversation so exciting to me, because not only will we be tapping into your vast experience and expertise, but the stories and the history and the all of the building blocks that have built this industry are going to be baked into this conversation. And I have to say, this is really the first time in our 60-year history that we have tapped into our master's vault. Since we started in 1997, we have recorded, archived, cultivated every video presentation, every essay, every lesson that has passed through the AWAI threshold. This is from the greats that have spoken on our bootcamp stages, the greats that have had intensive private sessions, the greats that have contributed, and all with the spirit of paying it forward, of continuing to teach, of keeping bringing up the next generation of copywriters. So we've been hard at work working in this vault and getting this vault ready. So this is like the tip of the iceberg that we're going to be talking about today, but I'm going to be talking more about that as we get through the program, as we get through this next hour or so. And I want to say I'm going to be going very quickly, because we're covering 20. Every single one of these we could probably spend a whole hour on, and that's the beauty when you get pros together like Sandy, David, and Guillermo. The conversations that happen when we hit on some of these principles is it's so fun, and I'm just so thrilled to be part of this today. So that's what we're doing today. That's our goal. Take notes. But pay attention, and you're going to have the recording. So if you miss something, don't worry, you will be able to. And then at the end, if you have any questions, we'll be happy to field those as well. So we've met our experts. So so glad to have you guys here. And we've broken these secrets into these little groupings. So we're going to start with the first four. And the first one, David, was one that you wanted to talk about specifically. And it's the power of facts told in an interesting and even charming way. And the example that you wanted to show and share with us was one written by David Ogilvy. So what do you mean by this in interesting and charming way?
Well, I think from Ogilvy, I really learned that, you know, information, people don't want to be lectured to, right? They don't want to just get a lot of facts and a lot of, you know, knowledge that we think is important. It needs to be done in an entertaining way.
Right.
Of course, entertaining can mean circus, you know, da 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 da, you know, that kind of thing. But it can also mean having a certain degree of charm. And I think Ogilvy really exemplified. Bill Bonner does it.
Bill Bonner, I was just going to say that, yeah.
Drayton Bird, they all write with a degree of charm that just sucks you in and gets you nodding your head and makes you keep on reading. You know, I don't know, it's a little hard to read on this, but, you know, Ogilvy and Mather has created over $1,480,000,000 worth of advertising and spent $4,900,000 tracking the results. Here, with all the dogmatism of brevity, are 38 of the things we have learned. You know, with all the dogmatism of brevity, that's just, you know, you could think about, oh, we don't want to use words that people might not understand and we want copy to be simple. But it also works when you just have that. You know, Jim Rutz had that also, that ability to write to the highest intelligence of the reader.
Exactly. And, you know, this is written to people interested in advertising. This is written to people that are potential clients. And of course, they want to know these 38 things. And dogmatism of brevity is like an insider joke almost. I mean, it would definitely make somebody in this business smile because, you know, that's what copywriting is.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, this whole thing is filled with a certain degree of, you know, wit, the burr of singularity. You know, what a nice way to say that, the burr, you know, something right. That attaches to something like a burr.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of, and the sheer, I think just the sheer audacity, too, of having 38 things listed like that,
right.
You know, also gives it a kind of authority.
Sure. And,
you know, yet in a charming way. So you're not like, oh, they're so boastful. No, just like, here's what we've learned.
Yeah. And again, if I'm in this world, just one of these things could make a huge difference for me. And I'm thankful. And I would feel a sense of reciprocity that I would want to give back to them because here are these lessons for me to apply. I probably can't do them as well as they can, but it certainly gives me something to think about and work on.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. You know, he knew about Cialdini's principles before Cialdini
right.
Really enumerated them, you know, so nicely. You know, just reciprocity. We're giving you this information. Like,
again, another master secret.
Yeah. What more would you give us if we hired your agency? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly. Or, hey, I want to be one of the things that one of the case studies that you brag about. I want to be part of this. So, OK, I'm going to move a little quicker. But like I said, we could have an hour conversation on this. And Sandy and G, I want you guys to chime in as well, too, because you know, there's not just one definitive thing to say about any of these things. But let's move on to number two. And Sandy, this is one of your master secrets that, and just so everyone knows, we asked Sandy, David, and G to send in five master secrets that had an impact on them. So that's what you're seeing here that they feel are powerful and just wanted to talk about today. So Sandy, you have the idea of coining a phrase, making something your own. And the example you have here is client-less copywriting. Mm-hmm. So you could just talk about that.
Actually, this is a package I worked on with Paul Hollingshead, and in a brainstorming for this, came across this. We were trying to figure out how can we talk about this product was for people to learn how to create a product and sell it. And so you didn't have to have clients. So we were trying to figure out how could we say that in an interesting way. And so the light bulb went off. Well, we can put client-less copywriting. And that's something that people hadn't heard before. And when you're able to coin a phrase like that, it brings a newness to the reader. I haven't seen that. I haven't heard that before. So automatically they want to know more when you can develop this phrasing. It can be something simple like this, client-less copywriting. There's others that have been out there, like Plague of the Black Debt was a way to talk about debt. That was like years ago when everybody was worried about the national debt. So when you're able to make that phrasing stand out like that, you just raise the bar where people just want to know, what is that? I have never heard that before. So if you can do it, it's a great technique to use.
Absolutely. And this touches on a really strong want, fear, desire that some writers have. A lot of writers don't want to work with clients. And oh, wait, there's a way to be a copywriter without clients. It taps into that as well, which is another secret we're going to be getting to. So let's move on to number three. And so Guillermo, you're such a master at this, being specific at all times. And I know you sent a few, for everybody sent over multiple examples. And I did have the very hard task of picking just one for example, but you know, we'll be able to get you the others as well. But Guillermo, if you could just talk about this, it seems obvious, of course you want to be specific, but what is the real power behind that?
Well, I'll just start by framing it that I believe the biggest secret is just to master the basics. If you master the basics, that's the biggest secret you can have as a writer.
Yeah.
And so one of those basics is, well, what are the basics? And it's going to be, well, be specific whenever you can. And so the first example there in the box, the number one small cap technology company to buy right now, most copywriters would think, okay, that's pretty good, right? It's telling you what it is. But it's not really as specific as it can be when you compare it to one device to end all disease. It costs less than $50. It's a 14 millimeter chip. It can cure every illness, grow the revenue by 11.1 billion. Like, how many specifics are there? 63,000%, 7 trillion in wealth. So it's like, look how many specifics there are. And which one would you rather read? Which one makes you more curious to learn more about it?
This tells a story. This is, it dimensionalizes, which is a word we're going to be hearing and talking about a lot today, but it just makes it jump off the page. It's not just these words here. This is a whole story, and it's something exciting that, you know, I want to be a part of.
It's a very bold claim. It's making a very bold claim to the reader. But by adding those specifics, that's what really gets the reader wanting to know more about this. What, it can end all of this? And then, as Dee said, all those specifics that are added to it.
Yes. Yep. Yes. All right. So number four, this was one that I saw Mike Palmer deliver in person. And it just made so much sense. And it just felt like it opened up such a door for writers. And it's in shorthand, it's tell the blank story no one else is telling. So for example, tell the gold story that no one else is telling. And, you know, Mike is a master researcher. He reads everything, and especially history and things like that. And he found this story about this little glitch that was going on that probably, you know, was under everybody's radar, but he was able to turn that into this huge benefit that educate, inform, and entertain people that are interested in this. It piques curiosity, and it makes people feel like you're getting some kind of insider secret, or you're putting pieces together, and it's just showing a much bigger opportunity. I think he actually got this from the Mutant Ninja Turtle guys. And the way that they came up from the name is they knew mutants were really big. They were going for teenagers. They liked turtles and ninjas, you know, whatever it was. They just put these four things together and it became the story that no one else was telling. David, do you have anything to add to this?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's so important to not be predictable and to not tell people what they already know. Like, oh, yeah, I know about this. I know about gold rising. Everyone's talking about gold rising. Oh, but wait a minute. There's a glitch that enables me. It's like, you know, it's the same thing with like, you know, AI, for instance, right? Everyone talks about AI, AI, AI. And now it's kind of, well, what's the story? But what's the story that's not being told?
Exactly.
How is it being misused? What's a way to do it without like, oh, the prompt to end all prompts? We don't want to hear that anymore, right? Right. Now we want to hear that there's something I don't know about it. And so you take advantage of the power of what's out there, which is gold prices rising, AI, whatever it is. And you take advantage of the power of that. And yet you turn it in a way that gets attention and makes it interesting.
Right. And it applies to health, self-help. You know, there isn't a niche really that you couldn't do something similar to this. Find some little nugget and turn it into a story that hasn't been connected with the typical conversations that are happening in this world.
And it means you've got to dig, like you said about, you know, Mike, right? He digs, he reads,
yeah.
Right? And that's where you come up with these things.
Yes. All right. So we've gotten through four. I think we're at a pretty good pace. Let's do this next bunch here. And David, this is something that you credit Eugene Schwartz, a master copywriter, and it's about spinning out and dimensionalizing benefits. And the example here is this rose bush letter.
Yeah, I just love this. I mean, I read this, one of those things I read periodically just because it wakes up in me that there are so many ways to describe a benefit of something. Like, how many ways can you say you get a lot of roses on the bush when you use this stuff? Well, he's got like 87 ways to say it, right? You get this many roses, you get, you know, along a path you have roses. Imagine your neighbors being amazed at all the roses. You'll be able to cut the roses and bring them into your house. Like, it just so many ways to drive home that there's a lot of roses. And it's the same thing with anything we do, right? Whether it's health or financial, how many ways can you say it stops your arthritis pain? It makes you feel better. You won't get a heart attack, right? But there are so many ways to dimensionalize that, right? In terms of, you know, how does it affect your family if you don't get a heart attack? Right. So, you know, and of course, his book is great for that, Breakthrough Advertising, where he systematically says, okay, bring in an audience, see other people, you know, find ways to test it out, right? Try this out for yourself. Put the fertilizer in, see if it doesn't multiply your yield by 20, 100%.
Right. And I love that there's this report on the number of blooms each month and how you can accomplish, you know, you're immediately thought like 1600 more blooms just in August. And wait, that's after 1500 in July. You know, it's just beautiful. It's just such a great example of this. Again, that can be applied. As soon as we hear it, we're like, well, of course we try to do that, but seeing it in action and understanding really the intentions behind it, I think just brings it to life in a new way.
And as Guillermo said, oh, sorry.
Oh, no, go on.
As Guillermo said too, the specifics of it, right? 4,316 in August, 5,227 in September, 487 in, you know, like just the patience of listing every month like that, but it draws you in.
But it has that pile up effect, which in the best possible way. So now, Sandy, you wanted to talk about dimensionalizing as well. And as far as from the prospect's perspective of how to make it feel deeper and more real. Mm-hmm. And you have this great example from Clayton.
Yeah, Clayton was so good at doing this with all his packages. And it's, I think, I guess ironic, Dave and I are thinking the same thing about trying to help people understand you want to dimensionalize a benefit, because that makes it feel so real to the reader when you're able to do that. And this is an example from Clayton where he shows you basically how you do it. The feature is constructed of carbon steel. Well, why? Because it never wears out. Well, what is the benefit to that? That the last drill bit you'll ever buy. So now he writes copy that says you can save up to $75 a year in broken drill bits, hours of unnecessary trips to the hardware store, and hundreds of dollars in lost income. So he's taking those three little things and turned it in, made it feel real so the reader can emphasize with it and feel like, wow, it's going to save me all of this money and these trips to the store. This one
aggravation, time, yes, money.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's hitting the reader right where they feel it the most, and he's taking that benefit and really drawing it out.
Great. So Guillermo, again, another very basics. One of the basics to becoming a master is short sentences and simple language. And again, if you are a master at this, if you want to talk about your thought process and how you actually accomplish it.
Yeah. So one of the, I guess, secrets also, as far as the basics, is you don't want your reader to think. You don't want to engage their rational thinking brain. Like, you don't want them to realize they're reading a piece of advertising. Well, how do you do that? Well, for one, you have to know your audience, right? So, but for the most part, you're going to be speaking in very simple terms, one idea per sentence, ideally, short one line paragraphs, like you see here, maybe at most three lines. And so it just becomes very, you look at it, it looks like very inviting to read. And then as you begin reading it, by the time you think, okay, I'll just read one sentence, you've read like five, right? And right. So that's the secret, is just making, how can you break down your big paragraphs into, make sure there's just one idea per sentence. That's a great way to do it. Make sure the FK grade score level is 6 or below. Use simple language. Use trade in bigger words for smaller words, right? Things like that. And that'll help you make your sentences short and simple and just easy for the reader to read, so they're not engaging their brain.
I mean, that's a great challenge for anybody that's working on anything right now. Go through it. Do you have more than one idea per sentence? If so, toss it. Make it two sentences. Make sure that it flows. Make sure that you're using all these short words that just kind of run on into the next sentence, the next thought. So you're just have this stream of conversation. Again, talking about dimensionalizing, we all three kind of
in the same zone.
in the same zone, but it's from different angles. And so it's dimensionalizing kind of the benefit, dimensionalizing what the prospect's feeling and reacting to, but then it's also dimensionalizing the identifications that the prospect has and the beliefs and desires that go along that. And, you know, we all know that Apple versus the PC commercial, and, you know, it was the stodgy guy and the cool guy. I mean, you know, anybody reading that would put themselves in one of those categories, and immediately there's a connection, there's a an affinity towards connecting with that and wanting to know more about that. Guillermo, do you have anything to add to this part of the whole dimensionalizing idea?
Yeah, the reason we didn't want to dimensionalize is because at the end of the day, you're trying to convince the prospect that what you're promising them is in fact true. They have to believe it. If they don't believe it, they're not going to buy. So how do you get them to believe it? One way would be using proof, facts, figures. And this would be another way, by dimensionalizing, making them visualize themselves in that position of receiving all the benefits.
Yeah, good. All right, okay, so we're moving along here. We got our next little grouping here. And David, I love that you went back to Caples and again, talking about dramatizing a benefit. This is something that we've all hopefully have seen at some point, but I'd love your take on how beautifully this is done and why people should try to achieve this type of dramatizing of benefits.
Yeah, you know, I think this is just, to me, this is just the prototypical dramatization of a benefit, right? You could have said, learn piano overnight. It's wonderful to play piano. You'll enjoy it. You know, this course trains you. You could have just focused on that, but he really dramatized it. He brought it to life by bringing you to that moment where someone sits down at the piano and plays, and their jaws are hanging open. We had no idea that David could play piano like this. And he even further dramatizes it with, they laughed, right? So not only did David sit down at the piano and play, but David sat down at the piano and they thought it was absurd because
people were snickering. You want to like, don't do it, David.
And, it gives that like redemption, vindication.
Yes.
When you talk about what people want, like they want benefits, they want this, yes. They want, you know, save money. They want, what they really want is vindication. What they really want is to prove themselves. And when you can get at a core benefit like that and bring it out, as is done here so well, that's just so powerful. Because it's like you were saying in the one before, right? More than anything else, we want to be the person we want to be, right? We want to be the person that sits down at the piano and wows everyone. We want to be the cool guy with the Mac. We don't want to be the nerd, right, with the Windows computer.
We want to be the house on the street with the best roses.
Right.
Yeah. And we don't want that because, you know, I mean, we do. We love roses and they're pretty, right? But what we really want is the neighbor going by and going. And,
yes.
Yeah. Look at that house and all those roses.
Yes.
Look at that house and all those roses, rather than, boy, I wish those Deutsches would, you know, get a yard service or something. aren't there covenants that they're violating?
Kick them out.
Kick them out. Right. Kick them out. And,
the idea and just the takeaway here, because, you know, we're touching on so many of these things. It's all about really digging in, understanding what your prospect really wants and how do you help him achieve it? How does he see himself doing it? And by taking these benefits, whatever the benefits are that you're writing back, and just making it come to life with your prospect being the star of it, you know, that's the goal.
Yeah, and I think you always want to work that in. Like this is just an example of it, right out front in your face, right?
Right.
But even when it's not out front in your face, somewhere in there, you want to make it clear to them. They're not just going to make a killing in the stock market. They're going to be at the Thanksgiving dinner table and their brother-in-law is going to brag about how he did so well, but you're going to be able to one-up him this year because you've got this newsletter.
Exactly. Okay, Sandy, now I do have two slides here, and you talk about mix up your proof types. And again, this is what masters do. They all had to learn it, obviously, but it does become second nature. And if you could just talk about the importance of how and why to do this in anything that you write.
And we mentioned how Mike Palmer just digs in and gets that research, and that's what brings that package he writes to life, because he's sharing all of this proof. And that's what we need the reader to feel like. This is real. Everything you're telling me is real. So we back up all the claims we make with some hard proof so that they can feel like, yeah, okay, I believe you beyond a shadow of a doubt. So there's different types of proof you can use when you're writing a letter. It can be something that's documented, a scientific study. Always nice to have data, graphs, and charts to visualize the proof. You can do it like, you know, how does the product work? Break it down step by step. You can pull in quotes from credentialed sources, and then you can use a historical event. So these are just some of the type of things that you can use for proof. Then there are social proof, like testimonials. Who's used this product and had success? Tell that story in there. Are there any places where it's been mentioned in the media or prestigious publications? And then you can have real or implied expert or celebrity endorsement, someone who's famous, who's used that product, who says something great about it. All of these are elements that just ratchet up the proof so that the reader then feels like, okay, I need to give this a try. I feel really good. You've shown me enough stuff about how it works and all the things it can do, and you proved it. I'm breaking down your resistance by doing this, and I'm ready to make a purchase.
And it's not just one thing. It's not like, okay, check off the proof box. It's got to be all these things interwoven. All right, Guillermo, I love this one. And because this is something that, again, you guys do almost intuitively, but if we can break it down so that, that others can start doing it as well, and that is promise the reader the thing that they already want, but a new way of achieving it. So you use this example, the X pattern, and I do have two slides here to go into this.
Yeah, so this is goes back to Gene Schwartz again. Basically, he talks about tapping into an existing desire. You can't create desire in somebody for something that they don't want, already want. And so basically, this is just another way of saying that, just promise them the thing that they already want, but you have to find a new way to achieve it, which is a unique mechanism, right? And so if you can do that, then you're most likely going to have a very successful package on your hand. And so in this case, everybody wants to, you know, usually the desires or promises are going to be in the three main buckets of health, wealth, and relationships. And so this would be in the wealth category. Here's how to make money easily, quicker, faster, et cetera, in a short period of time. And the new way to achieve it is this mysterious X pattern. And then there's all this proof right here in the headline.
Right. And then just goes into a little bit more.
Yeah, and it's basically the promise is you can capture a series of 164.68% windfalls and with 100% certainty only buy stocks that are going up. And the mechanism or the new way of doing it is this, you know, this X pattern.
This X pattern. Yeah, love it. That's great. One thing that, again, is it's basic. Everybody should do it. But at the master's level, thinking about how you eliminate risk with your offer, with your price, with your incentive, with your guarantee. And, you know, David, if you could just share some thoughts on how to do that, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're always trying to, you know, take risk away, right? Someone buys when the risk is low enough that they feel comfortable buying, right?
Right.
And, you know, it's a very interesting thing because, you know, guarantees have almost become sort of expected. So what you want to do is to have a guarantee that really kind of stands out, right? That really, you know, whether you can't always do double your money back, but one trick that I like to use is kind of a double guarantee. Mm-hmm. So it's like a performance guarantee. We guarantee that, you know, you will be pain-free, you know, within 3 weeks. But there's also if you just want your money back, we'll give you your money back.
Right. And I think I have this here too. Like your investment is guaranteed three ways kind of thing. So.
Right. So it's a triple guarantee, which sounds pretty sexy.
Yep. Yep. But, excellent. Thank you. All right. We're coming into the home stretch kind of. And David, if you could talk about Gary Halbert again. Somebody that's not with us anymore, but has made such a tremendous impact on our industry. And this ties in with what G was talking about, but a little bit different in the terms of the secret of plain talk.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Gary, too, was charming in his own way, but he could be charming in the persona of a housewife. So the first thing here is he just gets your attention with a, you know, juxtaposition, the amazing diet secret of a desperate housewife. Like it's got this soap opera kind of feel to it. You right. want to read it. And he starts out, you know, not like, boy, I lost 35 pounds in 2 weeks and you'll be amazed at this. Just like, my name is Nancy Pryor. I'm 35 years old. I'm a housewife and a mother of three children. I would like to tell you something personal about myself. One day last September, I just broke down and started to cry. I couldn't help it. I had reached my breaking point. I felt like I was going to have a nervous breakdown. It happened one Monday morning. I mean, how can you not be sucked into that? And right. and there's nothing in it that says I'm really some 60-year-old crazy, you know, guy in West Florida writing this.
That would have been Gary, for anybody that didn't know.
Sounds like a, you know, like a housewife would write.
Yeah.
You just sit down and say, my name is Nancy Pryor. I'm 35 years old, blah, 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 blah. Right? It's almost like daring to be boring a little bit. But you get the feeling like this is going to be, and that's the best proof in a way, this is going to be a real story from a real person, right?
So relatable. It just...
And if you look at these subheads, again, you talk about plain and direct and genuine, you know, no hunger, more energy, no exercise, healthy and safe. You know, these are the things that people want to know about. And it's just presented in this way that it does feel very authentic.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because it's almost like the subheads are this subliminal hype within the context of a very plain talking woman just kind of giving you her story, and it's flashing, you know, simple and easy, no exercise, as you're reading her story. It's really very interesting.
But I didn't take it as flashing. I took it as these are the things that I want to know, and I'm getting my answers in, you know, three words maximum.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. If you just read the subheads, you'd be like, I want this thing, whatever it is, right?
Exactly.
Automatic weight loss. I want no exercise. I want a sparkling new body.
Yes, please. All right, Sandy, this is interesting. If you could talk about future pacing, which, you know, is taking your audience to a particular event in the future where they're using, applying, reaping the rewards of the benefits. They're living in those future benefits.
Exactly. This is a way, again, to break down the buyer's natural resistance that they have toward things. So what you're trying to do is let them see how they're going to benefit by the product. Show them what's going to happen to them in the next week or the next month, so they can visualize it. And if they can do that, then they're more inclined to hit the purchase button, because they feel like, that's what I want. I want to have that. I want to achieve that. So it just, that's all we're doing, future pacing. It's a technique you really don't, I don't see it used that much. And I saw this, I was reminded of people I follow on Twitter, and the person mentioned it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I thought of that in years. But it's a technique that masters use where they're able to transport the reader into the future, letting them see themselves using that product. And this is just a quick one. You know, imagine that a few months from now that you're continually landing high paying clients and making more money than you imagine. And it all starts when you invest in Lise Benham's 21 day challenge. So right there, we're saying, imagine in a few months, this is what's going to happen. But all you got to do is make the purchase now, and that becomes real to you. So that's what we're trying to do, is just put that reader in the future using the product.
Love it. Love it. Guillermo, we've talked about, Sandy touched on proof, but I want your take on overwhelming proof for every promise that you make and the new ways to achieve it. And again, I think I have two pages here if you need me to advance it.
Yeah, so you're making the promise, and now you have to prove it, right? So that they can believe you. And so you're going to do that through kind of like how Sandy mentioned, like facts and figures, anecdotes, stories, all that kind of stuff. In this particular case, the proof is the fact that it's just one stock and he's telling you it's less than $3. So there's specifics. And he's saying he's teasing you by saying it generates more revenue than IBM, Facebook, even Google. So that's a kind of a form of proof where he's just teasing you about it, but it's specific enough that you believe it, at least for now. And then later on, he in the promo, there's plenty of proof.
Right.
And basically you want to give your proof, you want to frame your proof properly. You don't want to just spew out, which I used to do, a whole bunch of statistics one after the other and figures one after the other. You want to give it space. You want to set the reader up like a joke, and then the punchline is the proof, and you have to let the reader appreciate it before you go to your next piece of proof. So you don't want to just constantly be like, here's this proof, here's that proof, here's
bombard them. Yeah, I love that idea, and that's all part of pacing. That's all part of giving the reader time to absorb it, believe it, move on to the next, absorb it, believe it. That's great.
And I'll just add, you have to make them understand why that piece of proof is so significant. If you don't do that, which is part of the framing process, then it's just going to like just pass by them, and they're not going to appreciate why that proof is so powerful. So you kind of have to make sure you do that as a writer.
Excellent. Now, this is one, again, this was our beloved Herschel Gordon Lewis, who used to always bring the house down at boot camp. And one of his commandments was clarity. It was all about clarity. And this is a real billboard. Like, could you imagine if you're in your car and, I mean, I don't know how many accidents happen as people are trying to figure out, like, wait, yes, no, you know. So, you know, I think it's very, very clear that what the lesson here is, you know, you have to make it easy. You have to make it as clear as possible. Don't make anybody do too much brain gymnastics to try and understand what you want them to do and to keep them moving along. All right. So our last four, David, this is from Bill Bonner. And this is a big one. It's transubstantiation and speaking to the reader's highest intelligence. And if you could just talk on this, I mean, this is, well, Bill is such a master. And whenever he writes anything or teaches anything, it's such a treat.
Yeah, I think, you know, you've got newsletters, right? You've got financial information. And there's not but so many ways you can sell that. Buy my newsletter, right? Buy this wonderful thing. It's really good. No, it's really, really good. And, you know, instead, he turned it into a supper club, right? He turned it into a club where you get, you know, like, and he used his own story, right? I'm the head of a financial research organization. I get in on deals all the time. I get to hear about deals. And so I wanted to have a small circle of investors, right, who can also be in on these deals that I'm inviting you to. So it just became something so much more than just selling another newsletter. It's like a real, you know, it's like taking a car, right? You say it's not a car, it's a jet plane that exactly. rockets to, you know, whatever. He really did that with this. He turned a newsletter into an exclusive club that you want to be a part of.
Sandy knows this.
Yeah, I worked on this campaign.
Sandy did, but one of Bill's famous quotes is, nobody ever woke up and said, honey, we need another newsletter today.
You know? Yeah. But we do need a group of insiders that's going to give me access to deals that I don't know about, you know, yeah. ordinarily. And that just made this so attractive.
And Sandy, what was it like working on this? Because this was a big breakthrough in the industry.
Yeah, it was something that, you know, it was very experimental. We didn't know how well it would do. But it came about because people were always in the emails when they wrote to Bill sort of saying, you know, how do you come across these all these great investment ideas? And so we decided, well, why don't we just put a little group together and call it a supper club and make it feel like that? And so it worked really well. It did a great. And we had people, I think the first meeting we had was in Vegas. And I don't even know how many people were in the room to listen to these different ideas that Bill had. So it did really well. And it was a great campaign. And it was fabulous to work with him on this copy.
Right. But again, it took basically an investment service and turned it into this
something more.
Talk about dimensionalizing and all of these things that we've been talking about. David, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say maybe that's the last and best secret is when prospects tell you something, listen.
Yes,
exactly. That's a master's secret. That's for sure. Sandy, again, this all fits in. It fits in with the supper club. It fits in with so many things that you've talked about. But the whole idea of putting up a velvet cord and, you know, what that means and how to do it in a way that works.
This is it. It's kind of, remember the nightclubs and they would have bouncers at the door and then they had the velvet rope and there's a line of people and some people could get in automatically and most people had to stand in line. That's where this comes from. And it's basically that technique of wanting people, I want to be part of that. I don't want to be excluded. And so it's just a way to turn that idea and put it in copy that makes people feel like, well, I do want to be part of this. And so for this is from Popular Mechanics, where they say this invitation isn't for deadbeats, ripoff artists, or gentlemen who hate to get their hands dirty. It's for the rest of us. So we're trying to say, look, it's almost a way for the reader to qualify themselves. Oh, yes, I don't want to be a deadbeat. I don't want to be any of those ripoff. I want to be like these guys. I'm willing to do this. So that's an example, but it's really just trying to get that reader to feel like I need to be part of that. Don't exclude me from it.
Right. And I love that this example, particularly because when you think Velvet Cord, right, you think the fancy, getting into the fancy thing, but this is using it to get rid of those fancy people. They don't want those fancy people. It's for everybody else. It's for the
regular people like me, regular folks.
Regular Joes. Yeah.
So much of copywriting, I think, at the highest level is about helping people be who they want to be and not be who they don't want to be.
Mm. Yeah. Right?
So much of what we've looked at is just that.
Exactly. And that really sums it up beautifully. And again, keep that in mind. Keep that front of mind as you're trying to help people accomplish this. Guillermo, this is, again, it's about offer, it's about proof, it's about all of those things, but the goal is just to make it a no-brainer and build on confidence that prove that you can deliver what you're promising, right?
Exactly, because you still have to make the reader believe. You could seriously have the best product in the world, but just because you do have that doesn't mean somebody's going to believe you, right? So you have to do everything you can to make them believe you so they can at least try it. And so one other way would be to offer, risk reversal. It just shows that you're confident enough in your product and it's going to do what you say it's going to do, that you're like, hey, try it free for 14 days, send me the unopened bottles and you'll still get a refund. I've seen companies do that as well. And it just conveys the confidence that I'm so confident that you will get the result I'm promising that I'll let you try it risk-free.
And it doesn't always have to be the guarantee money related. Like, I love the aha moments guaranteed. That's great. It's not the money. It's like, you're going to have these great moments and you're going to guarantee that it's happening. So to me, it's just a great example.
Yeah, I totally agree. And here's just more of more examples of that, how you do that. But then let's move on to, this one was one that I wanted to put in. And again, Mark Ford has contributed so much to the AWAI vault over the last 26 years. And one of the master's level secrets that he touches on is identifying an enemy. You see that a lot in health and finance writing, but really it really applies to anything. It's whoever the 700 pound gorilla is in any kind of industry. You call them out and you say, we're not them. We're going to take them down. Like, your HMO may deliberately avoid hiring the best doctors. Well, I want the best doctors. They're bad. Those people, tell me where I can find this information. David, I'd love I know you've had a lot of experience with this and just your thoughts on why it's important, and then how you actually do it.
Well, I think it's important for a lot of reasons, right? I think it's important. People kind of need something to blame. They need a focus for emotion. I think you don't want to be too heavy-handed about it. You don't want to be like, oh, those pharmaceutical fat cats are blah, 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 your doctor, blah, 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 blah. You want to be careful not to make your doctor the enemy. People like their doctors, sure. Right? But the medical establishment, there's a lot of nuance to this too, in terms of sometimes it can just be inertia. Sometimes it can just be ignorance that's the enemy. It doesn't have to be pharmaceutical companies. It doesn't have to be big banks and, big brokerage companies, right? It can just be ignorance. It can just be inertia. It can be even things in yourself, right? Your own fears that are the enemy, and I'm going to help you to overcome that.
Yeah. I love that. Guillermo, anything to add?
No, I think what David said is spot on. And really the way I see this is just identifying a common enemy, so that this way you become more, it's the just building rapport, right?
Another way
I'm on your side. Yeah, exactly. Just being us, like if you picture sales, like in the old days where the salesman would be on one side of the desk and the prospect on the other, this is kind of coming around the desk and sitting alongside with them and being like, look over there.
I love that image. That's great. I love that. Well, okay, so we've touched through 20. And like I said, we could have had such great conversations, even greater conversations about any single one of these. I do want to let you all know about something that we are so excited about in the office. Today is a really big day in AWAI, because if you want more of these type of million-dollar secrets, we are opening our exclusive Master's Vault, and we're doing it through a beta test. We're doing it through this really restricted offer. It's called the Master's Vault $1 Billion Secrets from the Legends of Copywriters. These three masters are part of this. But based on our history, based on everything that we have, this is the most important elite level learning club for copywriters that's really ever been created. Like I said, it's going to be a beta test. We're not going to be extending invitations again under today's terms until this little period ends. It's for serious copywriting students striving to earn $250,000 per year or more at a minimum. If you're not there yet, this is going to get you there. If you're already there, you're going to see big jumps. And we're really looking for people that have taken concrete steps in their education. You know, by the fact that you've been here, you've sat through this and you've absorbed all this, by the fact that if you're interested in learning more about how the masters talk when they're hanging out, how they actually do what they do, this is for you. If you're into that learning about the history and how things can be applied in so many different circumstances, if you really love those kinds of conversations, this is for you. It includes immediate lifetime access to the greatest collection of master secrets from the legends. We have 58 master copywriters, including, as I said, these wonderful pros that we're reading about, but Mark Ford, Bill Bonner, the late Clayton Makepeace, the late Herschel Gordon Lewis. We have amazing video from them from when they were in their primes, giving their best secrets. John Carlton, Jay Abraham, if Carlene Anglin Cole, I don't want to name names because I'm going to forget too many. But it's really remarkable what we have and how we've curated it in a way that it's not just being over, that you can get through it easily. So it can be as big of a fire hose as you want. There's 127 strategically curated master's level insights. There's 93 hours of interviews, presentations, and discussions. And Paul Hollingshead, he got so excited about this when we were putting this together. And I talked to him on a Monday and I'm like, oh, how was your weekend? He says, well, he was so pumped up. It was like, he says, it was so great. I started just watching a few of the sessions and the masters. And before I knew it, I had gone through 60 and that was my whole weekend, but it was so great. And I'm ready to start writing it. And he did. And, you know, so, I mean, that's the kind of impact that it has. There's essays. And the thing is this is going to be growing all the time. We already have some things in the works that we're going to be adding very soon, and we will always be doing that. And plus, part of this beta test, which I'm super excited about, and this is something that Mark Ford really insisted that we do. If we were going to do this, he wanted it to be more than just everything that we already have. He wanted there to be a living component to it as well, where there is opportunity for more discussions, where we bring you into the room and you'll be part of an hour-long discussion on one single topic. We're calling it Masters Live. There's going to be, over the next year, whenever one, Mark or Paul or any of the masters we work with has one of these secrets that they want to call the club together and talk about. They're going to be passing copy around. There'll be Q&A. It's really going to be an amazing thing. But like I said, it's a beta test where we're checking it out, and we want to get the most excited and interested in the people that are really going to participate in. If you're interested, you can read more about it at the URL you're seeing up there, awai.com/copywriting-secrets. And, oh, this is, you guys are hearing about it first. I literally went live at 11 o'clock and what we started at 12. So just before Josh, our chief technology officer, pressed the button on it, and he immediately sent out an email to the whole team, and it said, "This might be the coolest thing we've ever published." And that's a lot coming from Josh. If you guys know Josh, that's a whole lot. And then Rebecca was right behind him, and there were all these emails flying around, and this is what she said about it, and it just sums it up, because it's very hard for me to even express how big and how powerful and how meaningful this is. How it's we've taken our 26 years of all the amazing people that have that we've worked with and that have shared their insights and knowledge, and we put it into this really easy to access and utilize format. But Rebecca was like, and we've been talking about this for years, but we really couldn't figure out how to do it because it was just so big. Like she says, it seemed like an impossible task that was so big. We just couldn't get enough momentum to even get it started. But we did. And our goal was to swing for the fences. And the Dream Team, I'm just going to give a shout out to the AWAI Dream Team. They made it happen. And so much more than we actually thought. It's better than imagined. I second Rebecca's thought on that. And it's going to be a very powerful tool, resource, force in our industry. And it's going to help so many writers become more competent, more confident, and more successful, which is what is the goal behind everything that we do. But with this particular resource, in particular, you know, it's all right there for you. So I hope you try it out. We have a really great offer going right now for this beta test that's going to be a limited time. We have payments available. There's a huge discount. If you're in COS or Infinity, you get this for free, including the live sessions that we'll be having. The first live session is going to be happening at Bootcamp with Mark actually leading it. So that's super exciting. Check it out, the invitation. Paul actually wrote the invitation, and you'll read that when you click on that. Or as always, call our guidance team, our member services, for more information if you have any questions. But the big thing is, when you do try it, I personally want to hear your feedback. I want to know what it means to you and how you're using it and just what you think. All right, so that's everything here. Jake, do we have any questions? I think I'm going to stop this presentation and just go back to the live here, stop my share. Jake, are you going to ask us questions? Do you want me to jump over there? I haven't been able to see any.
Hey, no worries. Yeah, we've been getting some questions in here, and our team in the background has been knocking them out. But do you want to readdress? Kim has a question. Do COSers, Circle of Success members, need to sign up for the live component, or do you just click in from the vault?
No. It'll all be on your page when we have those. You'll hear Perfect. About it. No need to register for those.
Perfect. And that is actually all the questions that we have at the moment. I'm trying to see if there's anything else.
Do we have any
kind of information on dates or anything for the live components yet?
Not yet. We're hoping to have the first one happen at Bootcamp, which will be in October. And then they are going to be a little ad hoc. These are going to be very organic. They're going to be, but they're going to be great. Just trust me that they're going to be great.
Mark is asking.
Plenty of notice.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Yeah, and it'll all be on the member page. And I told somebody else that all of the recordings will live there as well. So if you own the vault, then you can always access that.
Yeah.
Mark has a question. Can you do this instead of the accelerated program or after another program?
Well, I would still do the accelerated program because that teaches the fundamentals in a way that where you're building on your skills. This is the kind of resource where you go in and you learn more about those specific skills, but it's not like a start to finish kind of thing. It's more like, hey, I'm working on headlines. Let me go see what, you know, Mark Ford or Mike Palmer or David Deutsch or Sandy or G have to say about headlines. And when you do that, you'll see we probably have 5 or 10 or more wonderful, informative, illuminative presentations just on them speaking, you know, for an hour or so on headlines. So I would view it as a complementary resource, not a replacement resource.
Yeah. And for anybody else wondering, that applies to the AWAI method as well. So thank you, yes. Katie. Hillary said, I've enjoyed this, so much useful information. It's opened up my understanding even more. And Hillary, I got news for you. Your understanding is going to explode once you get into that vault.
Yes.
I got one here from Elizabeth. As a Circle of Success member, when can we access this to start reviewing the secrets before the live sessions?
Now. I think it's live.
It's up and at them, Elizabeth.
Correct me wrong. So. Tell me, somebody on the AWAI team, correct me if I'm wrong. But if it's not, it will be by the end of the day. But I'm pretty sure it's live.
It is live, yes. We were able to go live early this morning. So it's live for all Circle of Success members right now.
Yes, and I think you click on the master's program. This is the master's program on steroids. We took what we had and we just blew it out.
I want to see it. I'm anxious to get it.
Yeah, well, you have access. So.
All right. Thank you, everybody. That's all we got for now. Maybe a final last call, Katie?
Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to thank you, Sandy. Thank you, David. Thank you, Guillermo. And as always, whenever I have pros of your caliber with us, I always do want to know, you know, based on what's going on in the world right now, based on what you're seeing, what's your best advice for the writers that are listening to us right now? And Guillermo, I'll start with you.
Best advice I can give. Be eternally curious. Don't ever think you've arrived. Always keep learning, keep digging, because you'll find that it's a layered process. The more you keep going, the more something that was basic back when you were first learning becomes a much more eye-opening secret. So just always keep learning, always be curious would be my main advice.
Always keep learning. For the copywriter, school is never out, to quote Bob Bly. Sandy, how about you?
I would say just don't give up on yourself too early. I think everybody hits a point in their learning curve where they're going to feel like, oh, it's not making sense to me. But that's where you have to push through. And then all of a sudden, everything makes sense because you persisted and you just kept on trying. So I think you just got to keep at it and don't give up and don't feel like you can't do it, because all of the copywriters, all these masters, they started somewhere at some point in their career. It wasn't an overnight success. So it took a little bit of time for them to get there. So I would encourage you just to keep at it no matter what.
Beautiful. Thank you. And David, bring us home. Oh, you're muted.
I would build on what Sandy said a little bit. You know, the more when you learn about copy and you start to get trainings like this, it really makes you realize that your writing isn't what it could be. A lot of learning copy is discovering you don't write as well as you think you do. And, you know, a lot of people who are writers, we grew up, that's our identity. We write well. We've always been reinforced for that. And it's really important to get over that, because that's what gets you to that next level, is just realizing, no, what I've been writing has been to some extent boring, has been not convincing, has been repeating the same things over and over again. There's a new level that I can get to. And, you know, this master's thing, what I love about it And, you know, I purchased the original master's course, you know, 10, 20 years ago.
Well, you're in this new master's course, so you'll get a
grandfathered in, as it were.
Exactly.
You know, the amazing thing about this is that it does bring you to that other level by seeing through the eyes of masters. I mean, I learned a lot just from this, seeing through Sandy, through Guillermo, through Katie, like how they look at what they've learned from things. So, you know, just really put aside your ego, as John Carlton would say. Like, don't worry about how good a writer you are or you aren't. Don't worry about proving yourself. Just worry about keeping stepping up and up and up, because that's how you get to the upper levels.
And John Carlton, he's another one of the masters that's in this in the vault, in the collection. And I'm so glad you brought that up, David, because if you already have masters, you get this. This is a living program. This is just the latest version of it that mm-hmm. you get as well. And if you don't, try it out. Now is the time to get in, because it's just going to keep getting better and better. I want to thank everybody for participating. I really appreciate it. I appreciate Sandy, David, and Guillermo, the team behind the curtains here. I hope everybody has a great weekend. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.